To get a feel for the impact of the Wild Fish Conservancy lawsuit on Southeast trollers, try sitting in a room filled with them. Grizzled oldsters, seasoned men and women hardened by life on the ocean, well-known fisheries advocates, young families, and a baby or two. John Kurland is the Regional Administrator for Fisheries in the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, which, among other agencies, oversees the National Marine Fisheries Service. That's a lengthy title, but Kurland said that he is a neighbor, and he gets it.
First off, I know that there's been just a huge amount of concern about the implications of this suit and the potential for the troll fishery not to be able to open. I live in Juneau. I have a sense of how important this fishery is for Southeast Alaska, for a lot of small businesses, a lot of families, a lot of communities. It's a big deal.
The Washington state-based Wild Fish Conservancy sued the National Marine Fisheries Service in federal court in 2020, arguing that nymphs had violated the Endangered Species Act by failing to fully account for the impact of Southeast trolling on king salmon, an important prey for a small population of endangered orcas in Puget Sound called southern resident killer whales. The Conservancy won, and a judge ordered Southeast Alaska king salmon trolling shut down until the problem could be remedied. And it's just commercial trolling for Chinook in Southeast Alaska. No other commercial or sport fishery anywhere from Alaska to California is affected. It's a baffling strategy, and Kurland is as surprised as anyone that the suit got this far.
We're all sort of incredulous that this suit is focusing on Southeast Alaska fisheries when there are a lot bigger threats that southern resident killer whales are facing than what's happening in these fisheries. The Southeast Alaska fisheries are a really small contributor to the challenges that southern resident killer whales face in their recovery. But anyway, it is what it is.
Kurland explained the nuts and bolts of the lawsuit, which were already known to many in the standing room only crowd in Sitka's Harrigan Centennial Hall, how it stemmed from a 2019 biological opinion prepared by nymphs and the associated incidental take statement required to conduct a fishery that could affect an endangered species. He then took questions, some tough questions. Deborah Lyons is the representative from the Alaska Trollers Association to the Pacific Salmon Treaty. She wondered how the National Marine Fisheries Service could be outflanked by a nonprofit conservation organization on a question of environmental policy.
So when I look at what happened in Washington, nymphs, who are the experts on fisheries, issued an opinion that said the Southeast fishery, yes, takes some threatened salmon and takes some salmon that are prey of an endangered whale, but in the opinion of National Marine Fisheries Service, it was not a significant threat to any of those species. And yet a group was allowed to appeal to a judge and provide hand-selected bits of data that the judge found more compelling than the opinion of the agency, the federal agency that's supposed to render these decisions. Now, how does that happen?
Kurland responded that the Endangered Species Act has a provision that allows any citizen to bring suit, and that's what the Wild Fish Conservancy did. Although the National Marine Fisheries Service has appealed to the U.S. Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals and asked for a decision in June, it's unlikely that the court would act so fast. Instead, Kurland, without giving away too much legal strategy, said nymphs had one trump card it could play.
The agency has the authority under the Endangered Species Act to issue a new biological opinion and a new incidental take statement. It could be reviewed by the court. The court doesn't need to approve it up front, it's certainly possible that the plaintiffs will take issue with whatever we put out, and will ask the court to review it. But there is no implicit requirement or explicit requirement for the court to approve it before it takes effect.
This prompted troller Robert Bateman to drill down.
It's my understanding that once the ITS and the new biop has been written, and correct me if I'm wrong, you can basically put that in effect straight away. Now, if that didn't happen before July 1st, could we maybe go fishing in August still?
So your question is, if we are not able to get the new incidental take coverage in place by July 1st, but we get it in later, could there be an opening later in the season? Yes.
Kurland was joined at the meeting by an attorney from the U.S. Department of Justice, which is representing the National Marine Fisheries Service. Kurland explained that the DOJ stepped in any time someone sues the government, and he said, "I get sued all the time." Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.